He brings to us not only good, but adversity as well. Our great God isn't obligated to make us comfortable. Did you see that truth? Shall we indeed accept good? Oh, we're quick to do that. And not adversity? Are you ready to accept adversity? In the flesh, in the horizontal perspective, you'll resent it. You'll run from it. You'll build up a bitterness against him, saying, "What kind of a God is that?" But in the spiritual dimension, you will recognize that he has a right to bring the unpleasant as well as the pleasant. Without this concept, you'll never be able to persevere through pressure. It will blow you away. Listen, our major goal in life is not to be happy or satisfied, but to glorify God. That cuts across the grain of our Western culture. Every father's goal for his family is that they be happy and satisfied. Very few, precious few, fathers have their family's goal that the family glorify God first. We work our fingers to the bone to the last day of our lives, so that we might be happy and satisfied. And all we have to show for it is bony fingers. No, God's great goal for our lives is to glorify him, as the Apostle Paul said, whether by life or by death. Philippians 1:20. Listen to Job's counsel when the calamities die down. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. Neither will you be afraid of violence when it comes. You will laugh at violence and famine. Job chapter 5, verses 17 through 22. You see, God's great goal for us is not that we be comfortable or satisfied, nor that we live out a wonderful plan of constant smiling, being happy, facing no calamity, no evil, and no difficulty. It is wrong to tell the non-Christian, "Trust God and your worries are over. Believe in Jesus and you'll never know what it is to be defeated again." That's unfair. It is downright unbiblical. Instead, why not be honest and say, "Believe in Jesus Christ and you might step into a world of testing you never knew before, because you will have become the object of Jesus himself, and his character traits are to be formed in your life. And frankly, you can't have them formed without the fire and the loss. Since our goal is to glorify Christ, we can expect some loss." That's accurate. When you suffer and lose, that does not mean you are being disobedient. In fact, it means you're right in the center of his will. The path of obedience is often marked by times of suffering and loss. Job honestly admits, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there." Chapter 23, verse 8. Now here's a man with a rotting, decaying body, no children, and a nagging wife. He is heavy of heart and goes out at night looking for God. He cries out, "I look and he's not there." Losses are lonely times of crisis. "And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. When he turns on the right, I cannot see him." Job chapter 23, verses 8 and 9. When you've been through times like this, you know exactly what Job is saying.